Invite Rodrigo de la Parra, Vice President for Global Stakeholder Engagement for Latin America and Caribbean. Rodrigo.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to be speaking in Spanish, so if you don't speak Spanish, maybe a good idea if you wear your headsets. Hola a todos.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to invite you to ICANN 62 to take place in the city of Panama. This is our policy forum where the community focuses on working groups, working on ICANN policies. Unfortunately, our hosts have not been able to be here with us, but recently I visited Panama and I was able to talk to them. The Panamanian government will be supporting the ICANN meeting from an institutional point of view. We've also been in touch with the technical community through the CCTLD manager. Of course, the Panamanian civil society who participates actively in the ICANN and in other internet governance processes. Certainly, I should point out that in Panama over the last few years, very important meetings in the region have taken place for Latin America and the Caribbean. Last year, Panama hosted the LAC-IGF, the Internet Governance Forum for the region. Our hostess is here with us. You will meet her later. She's a member of an ALS that is part of LAC-RALO. This year, besides the ICANN meeting, we will also have the LACNIC meeting in May in Panama City as well. And together with the ICANN meeting, ICANN celebrates its 20th anniversary this year, and this sister organization of the LAC-TLD region that groups CCTLDs in the region is also celebrating its 20th anniversary. So during the close to the ICANN meeting, they will also have their celebration. So this is very important for the region. It's also been very important for the region for us to be back for an ICANN meeting to take place there again. As you may know, unfortunately, we have to put off two meetings, one of them this one, where we are now, very close to our region in from all points of view, from a geographical and cultural point of view. And the different participants and stakeholders in the region are very happy to have us there and to have another ICANN meeting. And now they will welcome us in the city of Panama. We're also preparing through a regional strategy the different stakeholder groups in Latin America and the Caribbean so that they will be able to leverage this policy forum. That is, we're trying to get them closer to our work. And as you may know, this meeting has an additional important outreach component, and we will also start working with other stakeholders. Well, without further ado, I'd like to tell you that we will be waiting for you on June 25th to 28th in Panama City. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rodrigo. I will keep talking in Spanish. For us, Latin Americans and people from the Caribbean, it is very nice to welcome you in our region. We're very happy to do that. And I'm also very happy now to make the following announcement about the ICANN 62 meeting in Panama. Just as happy as I was to announce this meeting here in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The meetings mentioned by Rodrigo have taken place and will keep taking place in Panama. By the way, personally, I myself was honored to be the first chair of LAC-TLD when it was created 20 years ago. And even though it's not part of the ICANN 62 host group here at ICANN 61 in San Juan, where people such as Leah Hernandez, she's over there. She is Panamanian, and I'm sure she will be a good guide in the city of Panama. And next year, 2019, the city will be celebrating its 500th anniversary. I hope that with this piece of information and with all these attractive issues, you will be supporting us in the Caribbean and Latin American region, and we'll also be able to keep on discussing policies and all the areas of interest that get us together at ICANN all over the year. Thank you very much. Having said this, I will now invite the audience to start the cues of the mics, and I will give the floor to my friend Kade to lead the public forum.
Thank you very much, Lito. So to start the session, please, if I have the cues. Yes, we're done. So we have one online question. Until the cues are forming, I would go to Brad for the online question. Brad?
Michael Pelage writes, can ICANN please provide any update on the potential security issue that resulted in the Adobe Connect service being shut down? Will this disruption of service negatively impact the ICANN community's use of this service going forward, or was the security issue related solely to this ICANN event? Finally, if the security issues related to the potential compromise of any personal data, has ICANN's Chief Data Protection Officer, Dan Halloran, been consulted, and when will the broader ICANN community be advised of this situation and ICANN's remediation / resolution? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brad. And with that, I will pass you to Joran.
Thank you. We are continuing to work with Adobe and our cloud service provider on this investigation, including coordination with the SAC members who reported the issue. We will continue to provide updates on this issue pursuant to our coordinated disclosure guidelines. This means that we work jointly with our vendors and the person who reported the issue on the investigation and on sharing information about the issue. On a parallel track, we are working on reviewing the available log files to determine whether this issue was exploited to obtain unauthorized access to any information that was shared in ICANN Adobe Connect session. Until we know more, ICANN's Adobe Connect services will remain offline. In the meantime, we will be rolling out alternative collaboration tools to community, so stay tuned. And to answer your specific question, Dan was in the room when we discussed those things. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yura. Please, next.
Hi, everyone. We are here together to show support. This will not be the most popular comment. However, seeing how many women have come forth for concrete solutions, it is our responsibility to be vocal. ICANN 59 was the first meeting after the anti-harassment policy has come through with a new mechanism for reporting any type of inappropriate behavior or harassment. Having seen no precedent of how the mechanism goes, us women are hesitant about using the mechanism. We are aware and acknowledge that this is a rather new policy, but we'd like the organization to be more clear and transparent about the mechanisms that the Ombudsperson Office relies on. Keeping in mind that some of us have had bad experiences of reporting incidents outside ICANN when talking about harassment issues, where normally rampant repercussions and marginalization for merely being vocal would be the result. Women like us in the community many times have been constantly faced with harassment. Several of us are even considering simply being engaged virtually, as physical engagement through presence in the meeting has been faced with verbal harassment and even physical harassment several times. We've collected cases of harassment that have happened to us and which we will share in a statement to the board by the end of the day. We would like a reply, please. And we will refrain from using names for now in order to keep the focus on the topic and not the person per se. According to those testimonies, we set forth the following recommendations. One, there should be a woman ombudsperson for harassment reporting. It has been proven by several studies that given the sensitivity of the issue, harassment reports are more prone to be tackled and come forth with when the ombudsperson is A, a woman, B, an expert in gender-related issues and mitigating harassment risks. Two, there should be more efforts on the part of the ICANN organization to raise awareness on the anti-harassment policy to all participants. For instance, every ICANN participant should have entirely read and promised to commit to the anti-harassment policy prior to engaging in any ICANN meeting and not only ticking a box. Two, there should be more visuals around meeting centers on what harassment is. Last point would be, we suggest amendments on the policy. The policy should be more detailed on the full process of the ombudsperson's mechanisms, such as details on the informal discussions that happen in the reporting mechanism when the harassment incident firstly happens. The policy should take into account not only the offender's cultural background, but also the victim/survivor's cultural background, and the policy should have stronger wording on repercussions. When no solid response from the community is done towards the harasser, there can definitely be an increase in aggressive characters of harassers, as there would be no accountability to stop them. So we'd like a response. What do you think, and how do you think you could help? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So you're going to send us the note, and yes, you will get a response. And also, I want to personally acknowledge the point you make about interfacing with someone in the Ombudsman's office who has a clear understanding of the position that you're in. So I want to acknowledge that. And I want to make a specific point, which is that the point you made about the harassment policy being new, et cetera, so we're going to ask the Ombudsman to do a report on the implementation of that. And obviously, as I know you know, he can't put in any information that is personal, but we can at least get a feeling for how it's going. But the critical piece is to say, yes, send in the, not that I could stop you, send in the letter, and we will respond. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you very much, Chris. Lucevis?
Yeah, I just would like to say, first of all, thank you for coming forward. It's an extremely important issue, and it's extremely important that everybody feels safe to fully participate with an ICANN. I've only been on the board, of course, for 2.5 years, but I've been really impressed with the serious way in which the board takes these issues up. And, of course, it was late to have an outspoken, you know, anti-harassment policy, but it's there now. It's important that we know not only how it works in writing, but that especially we can all trust how it works in practice. So thank you for taking the time and the courage to come up here and talk about something that affects a lot of people. And I can assure you that everyone is committed to making sure that participating in ICANN is not only a very safe, but also a pleasant and a good experience in which everyone feels included. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for raising that concerns. Oh, Shireen, please.
I also want to lend my support to everyone that spoke at the microphone and to my colleagues, Lucevis and Chris. It is very important that ICANN is a safe place for everyone, and I mean that everyone. And the more we raise awareness, the more it is safe, and the more we all feel comfortable and enjoy participating in ICANN. So thank you again, and thank you for raising the issue, and keep on doing that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sheree. Next question, please.
Me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Amadeu Abril, and I come alone to the mic. I will speak in my personal capacity. I would like answering Stephanie. Stephanie, civil society, as we have many of them, that she asked a question before about, you know, how things work here in interim measure. I think that by design, in this inflation of bylaws that Jurgen quite aptly described this morning, earlier this afternoon, we have always tried to balance interests. The outcome of trying to balance interests, so you add one person on this direction, you need to add another person in the contrary direction, is deadlock very often. It's not necessarily that, but the fact that we have equilibrium as a result instead of a decision is not an accident, it's part of the design. Having said that, I disagree on the fact that in this concrete case, this is because the board wants to do something, this or that. I also disagree with Jurgen that this is the first time that a law imposes or prevents policy. If we have UDRP or the TMCH, it's because of the direct influence of tribal law. And this is not bad. And I was absolutely supporting that. But I just want to remind that one of the first things we did, even before creating the GNSO, in the spring of 1999, was creating some working groups. The third one, Working Group C, was about the reform of the WHOIS, not to publish contact details of individuals. This is not something new. It's been there since at least 1999. It has been obstinately refused by especially the staff to deal with it in many different occasions, not because they are bad or anything like that, simply because there are very relevant lobbies and government that didn't want this to be solved. And this is the reason. I don't think that in this concrete reason is because ICANN board prefer to have an interim measure instead of the PDP, or that PDP doesn't work. This being the case in other situations. In this case, simply because of the reality of the forces. How much time I have left? I don't see it. 6 seconds. Okay, so the only I will cue again. One thing, Lito, I hope that you will also able to present Barcelona in Panama, because this year we have 3 meetings in a row in Latin countries. Indeed, Catalonia is a different part of the world, a different culture. We are still the brotherhood of Latins.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Please.
Merci.
Sébastien Bachelet is speaking. Thank you. I think this is a conversation not only between the community and the board, but also within the community. I would like to go back to what was said before, because there was a number of women who came up to the microphone, and I would like to add 2 things, of which the first is that under the new procedures, if a woman wants to talk to a woman, she will go up to the person who's in charge on the side of the ICANN staff, the person who's responsible of complaints. And then there will be a coordination between the ombudsperson's office and the complaints officer on that matter. And then my second comment is whether they should really read this letter before the ICANN board, or whether they shouldn't read this to the ombudsman's letter, or they should send it. Because if we wish to have confidentiality and if they wish to see something done, perhaps this would be within the ombudsman's remit. And then as regards the second part of the accountability of ICANN, there is a subgroup for which I am the rapporteur, which has made a number of recommendations, out of which one is that within the ombuds office there be one man and one woman to represent everyone, so that these kind of matters could precisely be addressed with a person of the gender of their choice. That is what I wanted to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please.
Jordan Carter-Dalenz speaking this time as one of the co-chairs for the CCWG, or the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability Workstream 2, for if you want the full mouthful. I just wanted to use this opportunity to remind you, the board and the community and the staff, of 2 next steps that are coming up for the CCWG. We are going to be putting out a consolidated set of recommendations for public comments, hopefully by the end of March. Those public comments are a chance for you to identify any inconsistencies or clashes between the recommendations. They're not the chance for new input on the substance of the recommendations. If you offer that new input, it will be gratefully received, put in a file, and given to the next group of people who sometime in the future look at accountability issues. But there have already been public comments on all of the substantive recommendations, and that was the opportunity to have substantive input. So it wouldn't get ignored, just won't get dealt with now. Because of the second point, at the ICANN Panama meeting, we're hoping to have a final revised draft report ready for community approval at least 3 weeks before the Panama meeting. There'll be webinars, there'll be offers to your SOs and ACs to explain in detail. So please, in your work plans, whether you're board or staff or community participants, add some time, add some agenda time for the Workstream 2 accountability stuff. This is not the dramatic big bang of Workstream 1 in the transition, but please, in the name of all that is good in the world, let's finish this phase of this process at Panama. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ram?
Jordan, this is Ram. I just wanted to say that you are a great example to our community of just something that's working so well. Volunteers who care, who commit, and who spend a great deal of time, effort, and energy getting deep into the details for the good of the community, for the public benefit. I applaud you, and for all of the others who are working with you. This is a massive undertaking, and there is something really wonderful and pure about what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Shireen?
Jordan, thank you. I also wish to update the community on a meeting the board had yesterday with the co-chairs and the rapporteurs of WS2. And there were two purposes for this meeting. One is to talk about the recommendations, and the other one talk about approach to implementation. And I have to say we made good strides and very good progress, and I feel confident that we can wrap this up by the timescales that Jordan has mentioned. So thank you very much, Jordan, for your intervention here. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirin. Please, next comment. Yes.
Okay, this is Amadeo Abril again, and I'm representing CORE. I came alone, but very often, as you say. Now, some comments on how we make policy in ICANN. Let's take the example of the GDPR. Not a concrete example, just the model. There is something that we were proposing, and the comments we get is, oh, yes, this will work, but this is too much work for registries or registrars, especially if they have very strange customers. Or, yes, this works in this context, but this TLD that has three or five TLDs, or, domain names, yes, it's very big, but it's not a especially dangerous namespace, and we have others that are much worse. So the problem here is that how we treat externalities, and we seem to treat externalities the wrong way. That is, instead of designing policies that take into account those that, for instance, in this case, with, you know, people that do strange things with domain names, are not just trying to get them, but not even neutral, but trying to prevent strange people from doing strange things. They are penalized because we design the policies with the registers that are neutral or the attract, and registers that are neutral or attract bad actors. And then we design the policy, and that's why doing these things is impossible because then we have so many cases. No, in many namespaces, we know that this doesn't happen. And it's not by accident. But let's imagine that there are accidents. How you deal with that is not just, you know, giving a premium to those that introduce the externalities, the cost to the others. When there are accidents, you need to see who's in a better position to prevent the accident. Or if not, you will need the one that's able to lower the consequences. And here we are creating is an overblown situation, designing on the idea that some registrars will not cooperate and there are bad actors in the domain name space. Let's do them pay for the excess cost they create to the community, not the whole members of the community, because this is not the case. Okay?
Thank you very much. Next comment or question, please.
My name is Werner Staub. I work for CORE Association, an organization that has been involved in the objective of expanding the TLD space forever it was created, about just before ICANN was created, actually. And looking back now that we have this latest round, as it was called, almost completed, I find that we cannot really be proud of, you know, what we've achieved. The expectations were certainly higher. And there is many reasons why we cannot be proud. Essentially, the quality was difficult to keep up because there were so many challenges. And many of these challenges actually were a consequence of some other objectives we found for ourselves, such as making everything totally predictable, have a round that would settle every question. Turned out that we tried to, and the opposite was the case. The only thing we had that happened was it took more time to prepare the round. Now, after that round actually has taken place, it was initiated in 2011. We are now close to admitting that the next one will have taken 10 years to complete. So actually, not only did we make a big mistake over-investing in precision that we could not uphold, but also now to be doing this again, we're again preparing for probably a poor way of introducing TLDs. So it may be a good idea to not just look at what insiders say if they want new TLDs, but whether we make available for the community a process by which an organic expansion of the domain namespace can take place.
Thank you very much. Anyone on the board wants to? Okay. Hearing.
I'll take that.
Okay, please.
So thank you very much for your comment. Your comment about 10 years is is very striking, and I think what we will take your suggestion into consideration, that we may want to consider various alternatives, including a steady process rather than a round type of process. We will consider all of the options, and whichever makes more sense to the community, we will consult and then adopt. So thank you very much for your intervention here.
Okay, thank you very much. Brad, do we have any online questions?
We don't have any online questions in the queue at this point.
Okay. This is unique. If there is no one else and there is no other questions, I will pass. I don't hear. Okay.
He's got the bingo cards.
Yes. 1 second. I don't know if the gentleman is coming to the mic or... No? Okay. So I will pass it to Shireen to close this session.
Okay, this is a first ever that we finish almost 45 minutes before the allotted time. I'd like to say a couple of messages in closing. One regarding the FY19 budget. I want you to know that we've heard all your comments, particularly regarding the budget cuts to community programs and to request mechanisms. We've also heard your comments about the cadence of the reviews next year, and we have asked our CEO to take all these comments into account, and I say all the comments into account, and come back with a revised budget and a participation with the community so that we, at the end, achieve a budget that we all, I'm not going to say everybody's going to be happy, but that one is sensible that have taken into account all of these comments. The other one regarding GDPR, I want to thank the community for all the effort and the participation from every single constituency in the community. This is not an easy problem to solve. It's very, very complex, and hopefully we will make progress together. So thank you again, and I declare this public forum closed. Thank you very much. We will resume in about 10 minutes the public board meeting. Thank you.